ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी, कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्या नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्या प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 रामो 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 हरे हरे। హరే కృష్ణ. సో ఇట్స్ మై ప్లెజర్ టు బీ హియర్ అమంగ్స్ట్ ఆల్ ద డివోటీస్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ నరసింహ గిరిధారి ఇస్కాన్ టెంపుల్. మై గ్రాటిట్యూడ్ టు వరద కృష్ణ ప్రభు ఫర్ ఇన్వైటింగ్ మీ. వీ హ్యాడ్ అ రియలీ వండర్ఫుల్ ఈవినింగ్, అ లాట్ ఆఫ్ వెరీ ఇంట్రెస్టెడ్ పీపుల్ ఇన్ ద సొసైటీ, వెరీ మచ్ ఇన్స్పైర్డ్ బై ద ఫిలాసఫీ ఆఫ్ ద గీత. సో దేర్ ఇస్ ట్రెమెండస్ పొటెన్షియల్ హియర్ ఇన్ బెంగళూరు. When we go our outreach and connect with people, and those people show interest in Krishna consciousness, they will be looking for the nearest ISKCON temple, and their further journey will be defined by what they experience in the community of devotees. So therefore, it's very important for us to know that the community of devotees is the most powerful preaching force which is available. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us the mission, and Srila Prabhupada has given us the institution. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 500 years ago, he has given us the mission of experiencing and sharing the Braja Prema, the love of Sri Vrindavan Dham, with all the souls. So to give you a perspective about what ISKCON's core mission is, we should have some idea about what actually Krishna does in Vrindavan when he appears. So one day of Brahma in 4.32 billion years, and one night of Brahma 4.32 billion years. So in 8.64 billion years, Krishna appears once towards the end of Dwapara Yuga and performs pastimes in Vrindavan for 11 years. So the Vrindavan Leela is manifested within these 14 planetary systems once for 11 years in 8.64 billion years. So we should allow this data to sink in to understand the overall fortune which we have. Because many times I have seen that, you know, after a few years, even devotees start questioning whether I am fortunate or not. And half the time goes in convincing people that you are fortunate, don't worry. So when someone is in such a state of self-doubt, there is no question of preaching. Because preaching means sharing your joy, not sharing your misery and doubts. Right? So when you are joyful, then by seeing that joy, people ask, how you are so joyful? Then you explain how you are so joyful, why you are so joyful. But if one is not joyful and one is miserable, the idea of preaching is not to share misery. I am miserable, you also become miserable. Take this. You also start following this. You will realize. So Prabhupada said, to come to Krishna consciousness is difficult. To stay in Krishna consciousness is more difficult. And to stay happy in Krishna consciousness is most difficult. So therefore Prabhupada just mentioned that chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But just that, he didn't give an elaborate explanation of what that and means. So between chanting Hare Krishna and being happy, there is a lot of hard work to be done. And that's exactly what we are trying to figure out, what we should do and how we should do that. So first, every member of the community should understand what is the fortune which I am receiving. So you are taking darshan of Shishi Radha, Shishi Gandharvika Giridhari and Sriman Mahaprabhu. So we take it for granted that, oh, Radha Krishna deities. Oh, ISKCON has so many Radha Krishna deities. But this manifestation does not happen in Satyuga and Treta Yuga. Right? Because there is only Narayan forms to be worshipped. The whole principle of Radha Krishna worship, it comes only when Krishna comes and performs these pastimes. So 11 years Krishna is in Vrindavan and he performs those pastimes. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Aradhya Bhagavan Brajeshataniyas. Our worshipable Lord is Krishna in Vrindavan. That means what Krishna did in those 11 years, you know, that freezes in time and that becomes our summum bonum for our whole life. So therefore, Ramya Kachit Upasana Brajavadhu Vargena Vakalpita. And how Krishna was worshipped by the gopis of Vrindavan, that becomes our model. They become our role model. The Brajavasis become our role model. How they worshipped Krishna, we want to follow in their footsteps. So therefore, Nectar of Instruction also explains this. That Vraja Anugami we have to become. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he performed his pastimes, he gave instructions to the six Goswamis to establish what exactly this bhakti is. So Mahaprabhu never wrote any books. He just spoke 8 verses of Shikshashtakam. But Mahaprabhu knew that if someone does not document this process properly, everyone will speculate what is bhakti. Because people would only hear about Mahaprabhu crying in the Rath Yatra. And they may think this crying is bhakti. And different people will start crying. So nowadays there is famous laughing club. So like that they would start crying clubs. And they would say that this is what Lord Chaitanya did, we will also do this. So the first thing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa and Sanatan is, you go through all the literatures and document what a neophyte sadhaka should do to attain the state which I am demonstrating during Rath Yatra of crying in ecstasy. How do you go from here to here? Chart out that path. So therefore, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami entered Vrindavan in February of 1516. So we are in the 500th year of Rupa and Sanatan entering Sri Vrindavan Dham. So from 1516, Rupa and Sanatan, and they resigned as Prime Minister and Finance Minister. Right? So therefore, Mahaprabhu's top associates like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they were Prime Minister, Finance Minister, Ramanandra was Governor, Pratapradhar Maharaj was King. So Mahaprabhu's top associates were all politicians. Their bread and butter was politics before they surrendered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were not involved in small-time politics. They were not village politicians. They were moving the whole state. You know, so they were very, very well-versed. Rajamantri Ramananda Vyavahare Nipun. Ramanandra is described as Rajamantri Vyavahare Nipun. He was an astute diplomat. He knew what to speak when. Sanatan Goswami, just by seeing the guy, will size him up in 10 seconds. And know exactly what to speak to convince him, because he was running a whole state. So all this came like that for them. So, how many of you will, you know, take the opportunity to become the cabinet minister in any government if it is offered? So many people may say, oh, it is very important for the movement. For the Krishna consciousness movement, it is very, very important that I become minister so that I can spread the movement far and wide. So Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were right there. And Mahaprabhu could have utilized their talents in highest positions of political authority to spread the movement. But Mahaprabhu, they felt inspired to completely dedicate themselves, and Mahaprabhu inspired them also. And they left everything. Why? Because they wanted to establish the foundation of the parampara. And unless the foundation of the parampara is established, nothing can be done. So they came to Vrindavan in 1516, and Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, on the instruction of Mahaprabhu, started researching through all Vedic literatures to try to identify what is the process of bhakti being defined and how a new sadhaka can take to this process and reach prema. So Rupa Goswami Pad spent next 18 years studying all these literatures in the forests of Vrindavan. And Vrindavan in 1516 did not have guest houses. All we have to do now is call up and book guest house. And many times we feel disturbed. I didn't get AC room. I wanted Radhe Shyam guest house. I wanted MVT. I wanted this. I couldn't get booking here, there. So it was all forest. In the middle of the forest, here are, you know, ex-ministers who were running whole kingdoms and who had servants running around them. And they were simply sitting there, absorbed in bhajan, understanding the details about what bhakti is all about. Kalena Vrindavana keli varta lupte titvam khyapayatum vishishya kripamartena abhishishyascha devas tatraiva rupam cha sanatanam cha. So their mandate was, study all the literatures and kalena Vrindavana keli varta, Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, you must try to bring out and highlight. Lupteti, it has got lost. Tvam khyapayitum bhushishya, kripamrtena abhishishyascha devas. Mahaprabhu blessed them to understand the gist of the Vraja Leela and present it in a way that we can experience Vraj Prem. What is the path to experience the love of Krishna Prem in Vrindavan? So that was the task. So the Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, the work started in 1516, but the Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu got published in 1534. So now in Bhakti Shastri course, within 3 months, you know, the teacher takes the student and whole batch through Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu. And in 2-3 months it is done. It is in the form of just one book. But to bring that technology in that format, Rupa Goswami had to spend 18 years and studied Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra. This was a totally karmi literature on, you know, the science of dramatics. So he took out the rasa theory from the science of dramatics, then brought in all of our literatures, then brought in Bhagavatam, took Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, put everything together, and then presented it in a form. He understood the whole science, and after understanding the science, he presented the technology. So that all we need to do is take up the bead bag and then start chanting. And then we know Adav Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti. So it just takes us 10 seconds to, you know, speak these 9 stages. But it took him 18 years to figure out how it's going to flow, how it's going to work. So the beginning of any activity is to understand the value of what you have received. Because without understanding the value of what we have received, we may underestimate and we may not appreciate fully, and therefore other thoughts will take over. So first of all, we should express heartfelt gratitude to Rupa Sanatan Goswamis and other Goswamis, including Raghunath Das Goswami, who was a multi-millionaire. He was like the Warren Buffet of that time. So just imagine if Warren Buffet comes and does bhajan in Vrindavan. What will be the media reaction? If he makes a bhajan kutir and sits inside. Right? After donating all the money. Not that he comes with a checkbook. But that's what Raghunath Das Goswami did. He was like huge billionaire. He left everything. And he's just doing bhajan there, assisting Rupa and Sanatan. So therefore, we should understand our family heritage, what we have received. And then based on what we have received, when you understand what you have received, then you will be able to actually practice it properly. And then when you practice it, you will preserve it. So without the appreciation of the value of what you have received, there will not even be an inspiration to preserve it. So therefore, this is a very, very important point, that because of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, we now have this sadhana bhakti in such a simple formula where each one of us can practice it and we can share it with any new person who walks into the temple and they just get connected. So the first Radha Krishna deities was established, you know, following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami's and Jiva Goswami's creating the Radha Govinda Mandir. So Radha Govinda temple was a very historical event. Then the Radharani was brought from Orissa and established there. And that was the first full-fledged Radha Krishna deities worship which happened. So do not think that Radha Krishna has been worshipped forever in India. Tell me one ancient temple of Radha Krishna which is existing forever, from the time of Udupi Krishna, of Balaji, of all those Jagannath temple. You cannot name a single Radha Krishna temple because it did not exist. The credit goes to Rupa and Sanatan, following Mahaprabhu, who established Radha Krishna. So that is the biggest joke of Kali Yuga, that Radha Krishna worship is the most, you know, exalted, which requires the highest qualification. And that is being given to the least qualified in Kali Yuga. That privilege was not there in the other yugas, even in the till 500 years ago in Kali Yuga. Now as Kali Yuga is progressing and becoming more and more degraded, Radha Krishna worship is becoming more and more prominent. Right? It is just like, you know, a company going to a campus for campus interview and selecting the people who have failed. That they declare, we will only recruit those who have failed. Toppers, move aside. You are not allowed. We will accept only the failures. So that is Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu goes running behind those who are fallen and degraded in this age of Kali. And therefore he gives this Radha Krishna Prema in a form which otherwise is practically impossible for anyone to conceive. But the amazing thing is, just after Mahaprabhu and the Goswamis wrote all their amazing literatures, within 100 years everything got lost. And in 1700, 1800, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it took him 11 years to find one copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita was written, you know, in 1615. On 1615 May, it got completed. So we just completed 400 years of Chaitanya Charitamrita's revelation. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur could not find one copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita in 1800s. So therefore, we should know that to preserve the legacy is not easy. And then after Bhaktivinoda Thakur found it, then he started reviving it. So the trio of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, they acted as a team to revive Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And the mission was to take it from east to the west and global. And therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur began by sending Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Lifetime and Precepts, that book, to Canada. Saraswati Thakur took it one step ahead by sending, you know, Bon Maharaj to London. And then Prabhupada took it one step forward by actually going all over the world and planting Krishna consciousness globally. So therefore, what began with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent in Navadvip and how it began with the Sankirtan movement being inaugurated in Alarnath, it found its culmination in Srila Prabhupada going to New York and establishing ISKCON worldwide. So I'm just beginning with a historical perspective of what we are receiving as of today. So what we are receiving is an opportunity in the human form of life to taste and experience the highest available gift in the entire creation, which is Krishna Prema, in the flavor of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So therefore, Mahaprabhu, it is described, he inaugurated this Harinam Sankirtan in Alarnath. Chaudikete sabaloka bole hari hari, prema veshe madhye nritya kare gaur hari. Mahaprabhu was chanting and dancing in the midst of the devotees and demonstrating that the potential of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra is to inundate our souls with ecstasy. So that was a demonstration. It was like an advertisement. Because every product being advertised is just showing you one thing. What is the principle of advertising industry? What do advertisements do? They convince you that if you develop a relationship with this product, you will be happy. So advertisement industry is all about sambandh gyan. They are trying to inspire you to develop a sambandha, a relationship, is it not? Whether it's a cola or it's a toothpaste or this or that, right? And now thanks to Ramdev Baba and Patanjali and everything, even saffron has got a lot of power now. Many people keep coming to me and asking, "Are aap kabhi chalu kar raha business?" So somehow, you know, this advertisement industry is all about establishing that this product can bring you pleasure. And the only thing remaining is your relationship with this product. Develop it. Develop it at a cost. You pay us, take this, experience the joy. That's what, you know, advertisement industry is all about. So therefore, you will always find in advertising, you know, world that whenever you see an ad, you'll always see people, after using the product, showing joy. You won't find any time after using the product they are showing is miserable. Right? I tell this story that they were, you know, it's a fictitious story that they were trying to sell. It's kind of used in the advertising industry. They were trying to sell Pepsi Cola in the Middle East. And they had this ad which showed There is a guy on a camel. There is an Arabian on a camel. And then he's very hot, perspiring. In the second frame, they show that he gets hold of a Pepsi. And he starts drinking the Pepsi. Then in the third frame, they show he's blissful. He's happy. He's joyful. Because of the sambandha with Pepsi. But they found that the sales were not increasing. The sales were not picking up. So then someone told them that in Middle East, Arabic is read right to left, not left to right. So people were seeing the ad right to left. So they were seeing the guy is happy, then he's drinking Pepsi, then he's becoming miserable. So the context of any ad is always, you take this product and you will be blissful. What they are trying to sell is an experience. So therefore, the whole principle of branding and advertising is all about trying to sell you an experience. And that's what Mahaprabhu was doing in Jagannath Puri for 18 years. So what you read in Chaitanya Charitamrita is the experience of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the Harinam. So if you don't know how to use an iPhone, it can become the most frustrating experience. You don't know which button is for what. And then you throw the iPhone away, useless. So like that, you take the beads in the hand and start chanting Hare Krishna, you keep going to sleep and feel miserable. And then you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see Mahaprabhu is dancing up and down. And he's in ecstasy. And you wonder, was he chanting the same mantra? The same mantra which I am chanting? How is it possible that we have such different experiences? So Mahaprabhu knew that people in Kali Yuga will question. And people in Kali Yuga, they believe in democracy so much, a whole group will come together and conclude that Mahaprabhu never chanted Hare Krishna mantra. It was some other mantra, which is lost now. We are unable to access it, therefore, what to do? We will not have that experience. So, in Kali Yuga, all kinds of speculations become prominent. So, therefore, Mahaprabhu made sure that everything is documented. So, companies are speaking about documentation and organization very recently. But the pioneers in organizations are temples. Because the Udupi Krishna temple and the Balaji temple and Jagannath temple, they outdate all modern corporations. And they have systems running for 1,000+ years. How many companies are running 1,000+ years? So in spite of all kinds of ups and downs and social upheavals and political upheavals, the worship of these deities and the festivals and the temple and everything is going on for more than 1,000 years, which is a big achievement. So therefore, Mahaprabhu wanted this to be documented. And so when Mahaprabhu did the kirtan, it is described, Kanchana sadrishya deha arunavasan pulakashru kampasveda tahate bhushan. That just by seeing Mahaprabhu's beautiful form, which was golden in complexion, kampasveda tahate bhushan, and just by seeing the transcendental ecstasy he was manifesting, everyone got attracted and enchanted. Because when you see happiness, desire arises. I should also develop this happiness. So therefore, Mahaprabhu's beauty and Mahaprabhu's ecstasy, these were the two main weapons by which he floored everyone. Kanchana sadrisha deha aruna vasan. His form was golden in complexion, enchanting, attractive. He was the personification of beauty. And he was the personification of bliss. Kampa, pulaka ashru kampa sveda tahate bhushan. In ecstasy, all of his limbs were reacting. So Mahaprabhu conquered everyone with his beauty and with his bliss. So therefore, what Srila Prabhupada is giving us is an opportunity to taste that experience. And therefore, Prabhupada took the Sanskrit literatures of the Goswamis, their works, which were in Bengali and Sanskrit, and translated it into English so that all of us could now connect with that same body of knowledge and have the opportunity to get the same experience. So therefore, Prabhupada spent a substantial part of his time writing the books. And he said, books are the basis. Because globally, with different cultures, with different languages, with different thought processes, different attitudes, if people in different temples all across the world start interpreting the process of Krishna consciousness in different ways, it will create havoc. So Prabhupada at least saved us from that controversy. That globally, everyone understands the Navvidha Bhakti has to be done like this. It is documented. It is perfectly shared with everyone. There is no doubt. You know, you won't go to any ISKCON temple and see suddenly deity of Shiva. You know, and people are chanting Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya in the kirtan. There are problems in ISKCON, but at least not this type. Why? Thanks to the doc. It is not a small thing. Because the books were written and they were distributed and disseminated on time. Otherwise, we cannot take it for granted. Every ISKCON temple all over the world follow the same spiritual standard. You don't, like one brahmachari in Chopati, he left after staying 2-3 years in the ashram. So while he was leaving, we just asked him any feedback you have for the management or anything. As they say, that exit interview. So he said, no problem, everything is fine. Devotees were loving, everything was great. Prasad was okay, not a problem. Only one thing, I have feedback. Mangalarti, if you can move to 10 o'clock in the morning, it will be good. Said there was this one friend of mine who was the country head for Citibank. And I invited him to the Eco Village and he was touring, and after that he gave a talk to the brahmacharis. And he said in his talk, ISKCON is better organized than even Citibank. I was shocked. I said, which ISKCON did you go to? How can you speak like this? I don't know about Citibank, so I'm intrigued. I'm feeling flattered that ISKCON is better organized than Citibank. And I said, can you qualify this statement? He said, yes. Whichever temple I go for Mangalarti, it happens exactly on time, 4:30. I go to Los Angeles, Pujari blows the shank at 4:30. Sydney, 4:30. London, 4:30. Durban, everywhere I go, shank blows at 4:30. Then they offer all the articles in the same order. And after that, they sing the Narsing Aarti. They offer the scent. And the darshan closes exactly at 5 o'clock. What a standard you're maintaining. Amazing. This is called systems. I said, what do you do after 5 o'clock? He said, after 5 o'clock, I leave. I said to him, that's where our leela begins. But if you observe from one perspective, it's a major achievement that the way Prabhupada has established the deity worship standards, the spiritual standards, the morning program, the evening program, the deity worship, it's all set. Right? So the infrastructure may differ in different countries. It may be a small temple, it may be a big temple, it may be a few devotees, it may be no devotees. You know, sometimes the number of personalities on the altar is more than on the temple hall. You know, I've been to temple where there's Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Radha, Krishna, and then one pujari. But the standards are being maintained. Same time, bhoga offerings, this, that, whatever. So it's a major thing. And Prabhupada said, they say that the sun never sets in the British Empire. Prabhupada was talking to a reporter in London. They say sun never sets in British Empire, but I see it never rises in London. And Prabhupada said that actually that now applies to our ISKCON, because we have temples all over the world. So where morning program is going on, somewhere else Shayan Aarti is going on. Is it not? So it's globally, we have temples all over the world. It's a major thing. So we have definitely managed to establish Mahaprabhu's mission. We have managed to, you know, put our foot in. But now, the next challenge is, how do we maintain it and how do we grow it? So that's the major challenge here. So, we are going to go through this PowerPoint on community building. What is strong spiritual leadership? It is a foundation of community building. Right? So I can see that here, under the leadership of Varada Krishna Prabhu and several others, there is a vibrant community of devotees. You know, this temple was, I came 6 years ago, not much was there. And then in 6 years' time, I can see a beautiful temple developed, Goshala, lot of spiritual activities, preaching activities. And in fact, I was just sharing with the Artha Forum team that the Artha Forum team here in Bangalore seems to be more active, more vibrant, and they have their act together more than even the team we have in Mumbai. You know, because Radha Giridhara Prabhu is the one who kind of initiated this. But he has lots of challenges moving things in Mumbai. But I can see here the group is well-knit, and they really come together and put up some really real quality programs. So all this is possible only when there is leadership. So this is the foundation of community building. So the difference between a leader and a manager is, a leader, his main task is to guide a community through a purpose. He has to make sure that everyone in the community is focused on the purpose. A manager deals with getting things done. So therefore, leadership is all about helping those who are your dependents stay focused on the purpose. So these are the 5 levels of focus, which is very important to understand. And it all begins with vision. Okay, what is the meaning of vision? That as a community, Prabhupada has given us 7 purposes of ISKCON. How many of you are aware that something like that exists? 7 purposes of ISKCON, right? So in the 7 purposes of ISKCON, Prabhupada has established a vision for overall ISKCON. Then every temple can further refine it and create details on what is the specific vision and mission they want within their community. Right? And without that vision, it's not possible to move forward. For example, this is a story. Okay, two men, they are at work at a roadside site. One guy is digging a hole, and while digging a hole, he's bringing out the mud. The other guy is putting the mud back in and filling the hole. The guy goes to the next one, again digs another hole, takes the mud out. The second guy fills the mud. And this is going on. So there is a bystander, and he is bewildered. And he's wondering, what's going on here? Is it a new employment creation scheme which he's not aware of? Because it doesn't make sense. You're digging and then filling, and digging and filling. So he goes to them, and out of curiosity says, I've been watching and observing for some time. It's illogical. What's going on? You are digging and this guy is filling it back. Net result is zero. What's going on? So they said, oh, actually we are three of us. So I dig the hole. There is a second guy who plants saplings of trees. And then after he plants saplings, this guy puts the mud back. So today he is on leave, but we are continuing our job. So you ask somebody, what are you doing? Whatever has been told, I'm doing. I've been told to do this, I'm doing. What is the problem? But if we are not aware of the overall vision, then we will just be doing, not knowing what we are doing and why we are doing. Right? So therefore, the context must be understood. The vision must be clear about why we are doing this. Why we are engaged in this particular activity. So without that vision, we will not be able to move forward. So the second element of vision is, once you have the vision, then if you want to execute the vision, then you need to do planning. So then in the planning stage, there are a few more people who get involved and you start planning. And based on the planning, once the plans are made, then you work out further details about who will do what, when, this and that. Even if you have worked out the details, once you start executing, you will end up in problem. There is no project which can be executed without problem. Many times when you come to ISKCON, you think this is the solution to all problems. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam. That will be taken care, but other things don't get taken care. On a day-to-day basis, you have to deal with many problems. Even the best of the meetings with all the minutes kept and, you know, the task is being executed, but unforeseen problems will manifest. We have no control over it. We have to deal with the reality. Right? So therefore, when we deal with when the problem comes, like we were having Yatra in Mayapur many years ago, 2009, and people started commenting, "Are every day breakfast you are going poha, upma, upma, poha, upma, poha, poha, upma." It is like Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Let's have something exciting. We are all from Mumbai. We are used to pav bhaji. What is the use of yatra if we don't have even once pav bhaji? So we also were very enthusiastic. I said, okay, fine. So we ordered for pav from Kolkata, Govinda's ISKCON. So that guy, I told him, send one day before. He said, no, we will make fresh the previous night. And overnight, in truck, we will transport. So many times when devotees are in ecstasy, you can't do much. Because their service attitude is overwhelming. And for that moment, even I got covered over. I said, okay, fine. It sounds okay. So then only problem was that particular evening and night happened to be Kali Puja. And because of that, there was massive traffic jam everywhere in the Calcutta Mayapur route. So the, you know, pav was made on time, sent in the truck. Truck got stuck somewhere. And 4 o'clock in the morning, I was entering the kitchen to start preparing the bhaji. I thought, let me check out where the truck has reached. And I called the truck wala. There was a devotee who was traveling from Govinda's with the truck. And I asked him, "Kaha pahunche?" And in typical style, he said, "Bas pahunchi rahe hain." And this language only Indians can understand. Westerners get totally frustrated. What is the interpretation of this? How many minutes, how many hours, how many yugas? It's open-ended. You know? So I said, okay, fine. So we started cooking, and then by 6 o'clock, our bhaji was ready. Again, I called up. You know, that guy switched off his phone because he realized he's not going to reach so early. So 7 o'clock, people started lining up for breakfast because, you know, one timing is definitely kept very punctual. It has to begin on time. You know, you may shift Mangalarti or Darshanarti or, you know, Katha timing back and forth, but Prasadam on time. People started lining up and lining up and lining up, and the whole line reached up to the road, main road of the Mayapur entrance, because from Gada, that whole road was filled up. And we got scared, you know, when you see a long line of people and you are in charge of the prasadam. You know, it's a scary scene. We kind of hid inside the kitchen. And some other senior vocal devotees were coming in. Kya ho raha hai? What is going on? Kya menu mein kya hai? I said, bread and jam. He said, really? What jam? I said, traffic jam. So many times when you don't have any solution, you know, sometimes you have to keep people engaged in speaking something which takes them off track because you don't have any answer. And then everyone, the whole news spread that power, Kolkata se power, power. So some guy started commenting, do pav pe khade hai, ek pav nahi mil raha hai. Ye kya chal raha hai? And so many comments were being made. It was really a scary scene. Around 7:40 the truck came, which was supposed to have come at 5:30 in the morning. It was 2 hours late. And this devotee was sitting next to the driver. He saw the line up till the gate. As he was taking the turn, he saw the line till the gate. He said, ye kya line hai? And the guy was at the very end. He said, suna hai, Kolkata se pav aa raha hai. This devotee got very fearful. He thought, meri to pitai ho gaya abhi. He jumped off the truck. And the driver said, where are you going? Bola, main Ganga snan ke liye ja raha hu. He disappeared from there. The poor driver brought the whole thing inside, and then finally we started serving like an hour late. And so much of feedback, you can't imagine. 4,000 people, when they start giving feedback on prasad, you know, it is trinadapi sunichena taro riva sahishnuna. So then, that is what is called as, when the problem is not taken care, it becomes drama. So the last part is drama. When the problem grows, and then everyone starts discussing about the problem in such an animated manner that it, you know, degenerates into drama. And many meetings, you must have experienced this happening. That you come together, begin an agenda item, and someone starts saying something, someone starts saying something else, and this, and boom, 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 boom. And before you know, it's like drama in action. You begin with Ishta Goshti, it becomes Mushti Goshti. So therefore, when the problem is there, which is going to be there? So that time, we must make sure that we shift the focus back to vision. If the problem is there, let us analyze. Is the problem there because there is a problem in the vision? Then we discuss and conclude, no, no, no. Vision is perfect. The problem is not happening because of the vision. Vision is all right. Okay, so is the problem happening because our planning was not correct? Probably. Some planning was not right. This plan was not proper. Therefore, the problem happened. So you identify, correct it, move on. Or if you conclude, no, vision was perfect, planning was also perfect, some detail went wrong. So you pin it down, identify it, and deal with it, and move on. So therefore, it's very important for a group of people who are in leadership roles or who are, you know, managing any department. You could even be like a Sankirtan department where five of you are involved, or Prasadam in department, or even within a small arena, or as a family, your husband, wife, and children, you know. So this applies everywhere. That when you are faced with the problem, then leadership means to shift the focus to vision, planning, and detail, and identify what could have caused that problem. And then deal with it. And lack of leadership means no action is taken and the problem degenerates into drama. So therefore, when the problem arises, that is where the leadership quality and level is tested. So a robust leadership would make sure that ultimately the problem is fixed and the analysis is made based on where we are going wrong. And therefore, this is a very important element. And these are the four roles of a leader. The four roles of a leader is to inspire trust, to clarify purpose, to align systems, and to unleash talent. The first is inspire trust. How does a leader inspire trust? Through his character, through his competence, through his mood of compassion. Prabhupada was such a leader. And Giriraj Maharaj shares a beautiful story that when he joined, you know, Srila Prabhupada, so his parents hired one psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist started talking to Giriraj Swami, asking him, do you have any problems in life? And he just replied with a shloka from the Gita. And yes, you know, Krishna is speaking about problems, janma mrityu jara vyadhi. Then the psychiatrist is asking, did you have problems with your parents in your childhood? And then he replied, pitamahasya jagata mata dhata pitama. That we have forgotten our relationship with the Supreme Father, Krishna, Supreme Mother. Every point he was countering with a Gita verse. After half an hour, the psychiatrist came out and met the parents and said to them, if we spend half an hour more with your son, we will become Hare Krishna. Your son is permanently infected. And Prabhupada was very happy to hear this. And in the next day morning class, Prabhupada said, even psychiatrist has certified that our Giriraj is permanently infected. So then Giriraj Maharaj came with Prabhupada to India, and he was in Mumbai. So his father came and mother came, and the father offered to Prabhupada blank check because he was a multimillionaire. He was like, when he left his body, he was like the advocate general for US. So he offered a blank check. He said, fill up any amount, give my son back. So Giriraj Maharaj whispered in Prabhupada's ear, keep the check and keep me also. And Prabhupada said, no, no, we don't need all this. You have joined out of your own free will. So he told his father, you know, if you want to take him, take him. We don't want him. But there is something which has inspired him to dedicate his life. So his mother started saying, oh, he's losing weight, he's becoming weak. Prabhupada immediately called his devotees, bring Mahaprasad. And they brought Sandesh and Rasgulla, and Prabhupada fed him Sandesh and Rasgulla and told his mother, I will personally guarantee to feed him every day half a kilo of Sandesh and Rasgulla. Then his father said that we have heard from our son that you are very intelligent, that you go to America when it is hot in India, and you come to India when it is cold in America. That is a very intelligent strategy. Prabhupada said, your son has figured out that strategy. And he has observed this strategy. So he is very intelligent. And because he is your son, you are very intelligent. So Prabhupada put it back on him only. And he didn't know what to reply. He was just charmed by Prabhupada. And he commented to Giriraj Maharaj when he was going, I can say two things about why your founder has been successful in establishing ISKCON globally. And these are two qualities required for leadership. I can see that Srila Prabhupada, this is Giriraj Maharaj's father, made a comment that Srila Prabhupada is a great organizer. That's the first quality. He's a great organizer. And number two, he knows how to deal with people. And these are the two qualities required in leadership roles. He's a great organizer and he knows how to deal with people. So therefore, some of Prabhupada's disciples, they explain this point that Srila Prabhupada, you know, he appreciated all devotees. Second, he recognized excellence. He appreciated all, but he recognized excellence amongst devotees. When they did something excellent, he specifically recognized that. So they were touched by this. So these are things which inspire trust. And thirdly, Srila Prabhupada gave them creative freedom. And then fourthly, Prabhupada was an emblem of enthusiasm. And fifthly, he was utterly, totally humble. So because of these qualities, he could inspire trust. So therefore, when the leader inspires trust, then based on that trust only, the people will follow. Once the trust is there, then you can explain to the whole team, what is our purpose? What is the purpose? Why we are here? Based on the purpose, we align our systems. So when you look at ISKCON as a community, so how is a community different from crowd? And how is it different from a club? A gathering of people is called crowd. And people come together and form clubs also. There are so many clubs which exist. And people are members of clubs also. So many of us were members. We have been part of crowds. We have been members of clubs. But now suddenly we call ourselves members of a community. So how is a community different from a crowd and a club? So this is a very interesting point to be understood. When we say there is a crowd, okay, you know, you're standing at the Bangalore station, majestic. You know, millions of people are there. You're part of a crowd. Right? But each person has a different destination. Each one has his own desire. Each one has their own agenda, what they want to do. It's a crowd. It's a mob. They've all come with different purposes. When you say, I become part of a club, so why do we go to a club? So there are clubs which have people, you know, play snooker or basketball, volleyball, cards, housey, this, that, you know, Lions Club, this club, that club, Diners Club, Cricket Club of India. So all these clubs, when you become members, what do you get? So there is some desire you want to fulfill. And each person is coming there for fulfilling their particular desire and experiencing personal pleasure. So we become members of a club for selfish interests. And when many selfish interests match, they come together as a club. So there are so many clubs which are all centered around playing cards. You know, they have this rummy club or bridge club and this and that. So why do they come at the appointed time and spend 2, 3 hours, 4 hours playing cards? For their own pleasure. It is not like, you know, seva, that for your pleasure I'm playing. I am playing cards for your pleasure. For service to society, I am playing. No, it is personal. So community is when a group of people come together for serving a purpose outside of themselves. So that is called as service without selfish considerations. So when we speak about selflessness, then there are various objectives and various, you know, types of dharma which come under the purview of selfless service. But that Prabhupada calls as extended selfishness because it is still on the bodily platform, on the egoistic platform. So various isms, including, you know, humanitarianism, philanthropy, nationalism, this, that, so many, they come on the border of apparent selflessness because people are connected to a cause which is not their own direct personal interest. But because it is extended as an identification of their own ego, therefore that is also not considered to be purely selfless. So therefore, when we come to the discussion of what exactly is selfless seva? So in the Madhya Lila, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while expressing what Madhavendra Puri has done, he brings his example as the standard. And he says, Pragada premer ei svabhava achar nija dukkha vignadira no kore vichar. What is love? Love is service without selfish consideration. Nija dukkha vignadira no kore vichar. In every relationship, there is some scarcity, impediment, discomfort, unhappiness. And in spite of all that, when a person is not discouraged and continues serving the object of his service with enthusiasm, so that is called selfless service, which was the standard of the Brajavasis. So the community which we want to model in ISKCON temples is not friends of a country club, of a community. It's not a group of social workers. It's not a group of nationalist workers. It's not a group of this and that. So many communities exist which are also doing very noble activity. But what is the unique DNA of an ISKCON community? There has to be a DNA matching. So the DNA of an ISKCON community must match the mood and the flavor of the Brajavasis in Vrindavan when they were serving Krishna 5,000 years ago. So we are trying to recreate Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said ISKCON temples are non-different from Vrindavan. Because who is the center of our community? Radha Krishna. So Radha Krishna are the center of the community. So our consciousness has to match the consciousness of the Brajavasis. Therefore, in the 10th canto, it is described, Ahobhagyam, Ahobhagyam, Nanda Gopa Vrajokasam Yanamitram Paramanandam Purna Brahma Sanatanam. The Brajavasis are glorified as most fortunate. Nanda Gopa Vrajokasam Yanamitram Paramanandam. Because they accepted Krishna as their dear friend. Krishna accepted them as their dear friend. Purna Brahma Sanatana. Although he is the supreme worshipable Lord Vishnu. India has more than 7 lakh villages. But what makes Vrindavan unique and different as a village. We are not just trying to follow any village, because every village has huts, every village has cows, every village has agriculture, every village has all kinds of village level trade, and every village has gossip. So what makes us attracted to Vrindavan? It's not the design of the huts. It's not the breed of the cows. It's not the kind of grains and fruits and vegetables which are grown there. It's not the environment of Vrindavan which is attracting us. What is attracting us to Vrindavan is the mood of the Brajavasis, that they allow themselves to be conquered by Krishna's will. Vraj means movement. Vraj, Vrindavan means the village where every resident's desire is constantly moving to reciprocate with Krishna's desire. It's dynamic. It's not etched in stone. It's moving. If Krishna is desiring this, okay, I will reciprocate accordingly. If Krishna's desire change, okay, my desire also changes. Krishna desire suddenly change here, I change. And that's what the Govardhan Leela is all about. That the Brajavasis are so surrendered to respond to Krishna's will, that a tried and tested successful model of worshipping Indra and getting the benefits has been going on since time immemorial. It's a no-brainer. You worship Indra, you get rain, everything is working fine. And Krishna comes in and says, no, we should worship Govardhan. That is required. And Krishna comes and suggests a change. And all of us are in ISKCON for so many years, you know, what is the cost of suggesting a change? If the change you have suggested doesn't work, you know, we have to take shelter of the lordships below, Narsingdev, for protection. Because all hell will break loose. So Krishna forced Brajavasis to stop their existing paradigm, worship Govardhan Hill. And what was the result of that? They lost their property. They lost their peace. They were about to lose their lives and somehow managed to barely fit under the Govardhan. And they were all looking at Krishna helplessly. And you have that beautiful right here in the temple hall. Every day you can come and have darshan of these beautiful, mural of Krishna lifting the Govardhan and all the Brajavasis. But what's amazing is, put ourselves in that situation. Will we be able to spend 7 days and seven nights peacefully under that hill, focused on Krishna, or we would be thinking, what happened to my house, Baba? What that rain must have done to my house? And none of the Brajavasis are gossiping that why the hell Krishna suggested this? And why did we follow? Whose idea was this? When there is constant rain going on and there is no guarantee. We know now from the past time that it lasted 7 days. But they don't know that it is going to end in 7 days. So when a problem begins and there is no certainty about when it is ending, that's where the confusion begins. The blame game begins. So under that Govardhan Hill, not a single Brajavasi made an allegation against Krishna. Barbaad kar diya humko. So therefore, to follow in the footsteps of Brajavasis is a very, very high standard. So they were just willing to accept whatever Krishna decides without complaining, without criticizing, wholeheartedly willing to follow. Therefore, that's the whole idea of Govardhan Giriraj. That Krishna is shifting the focus and attention of all of us. That if you are only concerned with what is practical and relevant, and you are attracted to that which is relevant, then worshipping Indra was the most relevant thing. Getting rainfall by worshipping Indra and getting your life in order, it was going on. But I don't descend to Braj Bhumi to just, you know, share with you thing which is relevant. I want you to go beyond what is relevant to that which is eternal and rare, which is unflinching faith in the unseen, which is Krishna's desire and Krishna's will. So therefore, Krishna forced the Brajavasis to do something which was very revolutionary, the reaction of which was revolutionary. But through that, he is showcasing to us that I am looking to attract a small minority of souls in this world who are interested to develop such unflinching faith in me and my will and my desire, and who will put faith in my schemes more than many relevant schemes of this world. So therefore, this particular scene is very revolutionary, because it indicates the Brajavasis putting their faith in Krishna, losing everything they had, but gaining in their faith in Krishna in spite of losing all. And that is Krishna consciousness. And that is what ISKCON has been created for. Otherwise, there are many other organizations and many other groups which are doing things which are much more practical and relevant, and dealing with immediate needs of people. But through that one beautiful picture, Krishna is challenging us that I am uplifting your consciousness and allowing your consciousness to take shelter under my will. That space created under Govardhan is for that group of people who would prefer to take shelter under the umbrella of Krishna's will, however destructive and however illogical and however irrelevant that will may appear to be. That is a manifestation of love. That is the purpose for which Prabhupada created ISKCON communities, to model the attitudes and the faith of Brajavasis. So therefore, just like stock exchange exists to earn money, the ISKCON satsang exists to earn faith. Why have we come to the satsang? To exchange faith. In a stock market, you go with a capital of money and you expect to grow that money. You invest money and grow your money. So you have come to we have all come to ISKCON with a capital of faith, and we expect to grow that faith through exchange of dadati pratigrihnati guhyamakhyati prichati bhungte bhojayate. Through these six loving exchanges, we are trying and attempting to grow our shraddha, our faith. So therefore, based on this purpose, we align our systems. Having understood what is the purpose, why we exist as a Radha Krishna temple. We exist as a Radha Krishna temple not to evoke nationalism, not to evoke social work, not to eradicate poverty, not to eradicate hunger. We exist for that purpose, to attain an unflinching degree of faith in Krishna's will, and be willing to move our desires in reciprocation with Krishna's desires, whichever way those desires may move. And that is what bhakti of Vrindavan is all about. So when we are convinced about that, Based on that, you align your systems. And then when we align the systems, then we have this congregation of devotees. And we engage those devotees to expand the mission further so that each devotee feels nourished in contributing something for Krishna Bhakti. And that is called unleashing talent. So when the talent is unleashed, each person in the community feels empowered. He feels a sense of contribution. So therefore, these are the four roles of a leader. So these are the four foundational principles of community development: sadhana, sadachar, sambandha, and seva. Okay. So in each principle, we will discuss the need. What is the innate need of an individual and the community which necessitates that particular principle's application? Then we'll see precedents from Shastra and the life of Prabhupada which demonstrate the principle. We will also see precepts, some axioms and guidelines which would help in implementation of the principle, and practices, some contemporary example and case studies of application of the principle. So we will start with sadhana. So there is an innate need of the soul. What is sadhana means? Sadhana means the relationship of the soul with transcendental sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So all of us, we begin this process of chanting and we have a relationship with the sound vibration. Now all of you are sitting and hearing the sound vibration, right? So this transcendental sound vibration, it has the capacity to penetrate our heart. And when we develop a relationship, it is described that the soul must develop an intimate relationship with Krishna through the transcendental sound. And therefore, the innate need of the soul is to get the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. Raso vai saha. So just like the fish is thirsty for water, the fish exists in water. Similarly, the soul exists in a relationship with Krishna. So the sum total of all rasas which satisfy us come when we are in a relationship with Krishna. So these are some beautiful quotes of Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada mentions, in your traveling from center to center, you must be very careful to see that the leaders are observing the principles of chanting 16 rounds, rising early for Mangalarti, participating in morning and evening classes, observing the four regulative principles. If there is any deviation, it is the responsibility of you and the local GBC representative to rectify immediately. Within these Vaishnava standards which I have put forward lies the spiritual strength of the movement. So you may please do the needful in this regard. So we should know that as a society, we consist of many, many members. And all different members of ISKCON come with a whole range of skill sets. But we should know that for every skill which we can, you know, profess to possess or display or demonstrate, there are experts available in the same field in the outside world who do those with greater competence than we can do. You know, if I say I speak, so there are hundreds of people who speak more powerfully and more attractively and enchant and make a point more strongly. Okay, you say I sing, We are ISKCON devotees. We sing kirtan. I mean, you are in South India, so you know how many powerful Carnatic singers are there, and you know, classical singers are there, and powerful singers are there. Okay, we write literatures. Are so many powerful writers exist. We organize. Are what we organize? There are big corporations which are being organized. The governments are being organized. Any field you take, the core strength which we have is that we are a group of people who take the principle of hearing and chanting seriously. So therefore, Prabhupada in this Bhagavatam, he quotes from the Narad Muni's instruction to Vyasdevji. Right? What is that shloka? Which describes how Bhagavatam is filled with defects, but still, Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishloka abaddhavatyapi namani anantasya ishon kitaniyat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadha. So Prabhupada says, the reason I am presenting Bhagavatam is not because it is perfect or my writing is perfect or the language is perfect, but because it is such an emergency and this message needs to be shared. And therefore it creates revolution in the heart. So therefore, temple means mandir. It is a hospital for the mind. And the medicine is the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So when Lord Ram attacked Lanka, Lanka was super organized. The kind of organization which was there in Lanka cannot be imagined. All the soldiers in Lanka were very, very expertly trained. They had the best arms with them. They were stationed in the right strategic locations. They were professional military men. They were professional fighters. They had the nature of fighting and they had the skill of fighting. Everyone was, you know, professionally equipped. And Lord Ram's army consisted of monkey soldiers who were carrying, you know, stones, rocks, trees, plants. And they were, after all, monkeys. And what strategy can you make with monkeys? You can't make them sit for 5 minutes to hear the strategy. So one Sri Vaishnava Acharya, he writes, there is a reason Lord Ram did this. The reason Lord Ram carried the monkey army with him was to demonstrate that however well organized the demoniac forces may be, the Vaishnava army should never dream that they can ever become as well organized as that. In spite of all their best efforts, we can never match that level of organization and competence. So we cannot trump them with organization and expertise. But the only hope we have is Ram Nam. That is the only extra feature we have which they don't have. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So many times devotees discuss, Hare, our organization is not proper, our this is not proper, that is not proper. However much you will organize, it will never match Lanka. But you take shelter of one thing, holy name and the Bhagavatam. So when you start demonstrating we are taking shelter of Krishna more, then Krishna takes over. And then whatever deficiencies may be there are taken care of. So therefore we should know that Prabhupada said, purity is the force. So if you want the force, this is the force. The force comes with Shrinvatam Swakatam Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. What is our Punya? Shravana Kirtana. So therefore, without accumulating Punya, no power can come. If someone is making money, he has some Punya from the past life. If someone is becoming famous, he has Punya. If someone is getting highly educated, there is some Punya. If someone is becoming prime minister or this or that, he is carrying some Punya. Without Punya, you cannot manifest result. So if you want to be empowered to serve Krishna, you must have Punya. And what is that Punya? Punya Shravana Kirtana. Without accumulating sufficient piety of being blessed by the transcendental sound vibration, one can never expect to do something meritorious in Krishna's service. Nobody in history has ever managed to do simply by using their brain. Therefore, if you see Saraswati Thakur, for 10 years he was chanting 190 rounds. Then he established Gaudiya Math. Prabhupada was doing bhajan for long periods in Vrindavan and just absorbed in translating Bhagavatam. Then in 1966 he began all this organizational business and, you know, all the other things. Punya Shravana Kirtana. So am I spending quality time with the holy name? Am I spending quality time with Prabhupada's books? If not, then I can strategize ad infinitum. It's not going to create empowerment. In Krishna consciousness, empowerment doesn't come from strategy. It comes from sadhana. Strategy is simply a vehicle. It simply is the track on which the engine of empowerment will move. But otherwise, if we are not empowered through Shravana and Kirtana, there is no way anything can be achieved. So therefore, if you study, if you want to be successful in any field, just watch those who are already successful in that field and just model your life accordingly. So anyone who has been successful in their Krishna consciousness, they have strong sadhana. Without strong sadhana, no one has ever achieved something of significance, either individually or as a group in Krishna consciousness. It's impossible. So therefore, this is a very important element. Prabhupada is mentioning that Prabhupada is saying, within these Vaishnava standards which I have put forward lies the spiritual strength of our movement. So as ISKCON is growing, are we spending sufficient time hearing and chanting? Although our movement is growing and we are spending more time, but are we spending enough time in these basic activities? When things go wrong, go back to the basics. Are we spending more time dealing with tasks than with, you know, these elements for self-improvement? So therefore, strong sadhana is a foundation of a Krishna conscious community, and one moves from Kanishta Adhikari through the process of sadhana to Madhyam Adhikari. So when we say Kanishta Adhikari to Madhyam Adhikari, what is the difference? What is sadhana doing? The transcendental sound vibration is helping dissolve the false ego and enhance Shraddha. So the difference between Kanishtha Adhikari and Madhyam Adhikari is the net capital of faith which he is carrying in the heart. So the sadhana dissolves the false ego and adds spiritual capital. And therefore a person grows from being a Kanishtha to the Madhyam state. And when one comes to the state of Madhyam Adhikari, then a whole group of devotees who have significantly purified their false ego and who have created a significant capital of punya through Shravan and Kirtan, they start moving in the direction of a community of Madhyam Adhikaris. Then it becomes stable. Where relationships amongst devotees is given more priority than I am right or you are right or, you know, he did this or she did this or they did this. So therefore, we cannot artificially come to this stage. A community can come to a stage only to the extent the individual members are becoming purified of their individual anarthas. So it becomes the individual responsibility of every member of the community to strive for purification and sincerely attempt to take sadhana as a priority so that I become purified and my faith grows. So when each member of the community is aligned towards that purpose, then overall, as a community, we grow. So this is a very important point to understand. And Prabhupada mentions, if we act always in this consciousness, automatically everyone will be attracted to devotional service. And this is the secret of our preaching work. If you simply practice the regulative principles which I have introduced, you will remain pure. Factually, this is our only strength. I have seen better orators, better scholars, and better organizers, but no one is becoming pure by following regulative principles. Purity is the force. Simply because we rise early, take bath, chant 16 rounds, and strive with every activity to please Krishna, this is what impresses others. So Prabhupada, letter to Bali Mardan, November 4th, 1970. Prabhupada is mentioning, I have seen better orators, better scholars, and better organizers, but no one is becoming pure by following the regulative principles. So regulative principles is both chanting and the four principles. Chanting, studying books, worshipping deities, all of these principles for being purified and avoiding the negative elements to not get contaminated. So therefore, you know, in our temple at Chowpatty, we had, you know, previously Mangal Aarti at 4:15 in the morning. So many of the neighbors were disturbed and they put court case. So many court cases were, you know, happening with Chowpatty temple. So one morning, some of the neighbors also came with video cameras to take video of our Mangal Aarti, of the Kirtan. And 1988-89, it was like, that time video cameras were not so common. So many of the brahmacharis thought, oh, it is a chance to come in video. So they took 3-4 mridangas. Whatever wampers they had, they brought all of it. And they were posing in the camera. And, you know, doing louder kirtan than normal. So they presented it as evidence in the court, and finally it was ruled that you cannot have Mangal Aarti before 5 o'clock. So therefore our Mangal Aarti is 5 o'clock. Thanks to, you know, many of our neighbors. So many of the people who came later, they don't know this. You know, but you get half an hour extra to take rest, you know. So nobody's protesting. But what the devotees do early in the morning, outsiders cannot understand. And there is no reference also. So Prabhupada is mentioning very clearly, simply because we rise early, take bath, chant 16 rounds, and strive with every activity to please Krishna. This is what impresses others. Prabhupada is saying, I have seen better orators, better scholars, better organizers. But no one is becoming pure. So we may take it for granted that, oh, what is there? You know, we are chanting 16 rounds, four principles, but we are in a very, very insignificant minority of those who are doing all this. One gentleman came for a program and I was requesting him to sing kirtan. Sound was not coming out only. And everyone else clapping in the kirtan, and he was like, very mildly, no sound was coming from his hand. Because the faith was not there that in chanting we will benefit. After program is over, he's sitting in one corner and take out tobacco and put tobacco on the hand and hitting loudly, making big sound. So I said, "Arey, kirtan mein to aapka awaaz nahi aaya, abhi tambaku dala to bahut zor zor se awaaz taali baj raha hai." Wo bola, "Tambaku nahi hai ye. Ye sanjeevani booti hai." So I said, "Sanjeevani booti? From where you got that?" And my grandfather told me. When he was telling me Ramayana, and in the middle he used to take this out, I asked him, "What is this?" He said, "Sanjeevani booti." By smelling this, Lakshman was revived. So in India, not only you do sense gratification, you have philosophical justification also. You can't just directly do sense gratification. Somewhere or the other, you bring in some characters and make them partners in your sense gratification. So Prabhupada is saying, it is not easy to follow this path of purity. Not everyone can do it. It's not so simple. They were organizing this science congress many years ago, and it was in Kolkata. And the best feature of that, apart from all of these scientists were coming and presenting quantum mechanics, quantum physics, this, that, high, heavy topics. But the best part was, in order to transform them and create an impression, they would have elaborate prasadam. I have not seen prasadam in any ISKCON event as elaborate as in Science Congress. You know, synthesis of science and religion. But those who don't understand science or religion, it is synthesis of all prasadam there. And after having that heavy prasad, the afternoon session, 2 to 5 is the most difficult. In an air-conditioned hall, lights dim. You know, and I could hear snoring sound coming from nearby. So after the lecture, you know, Radhanath Maharaj met me and he said, "My God, such heavy quantum mechanics and this and that. I think you must be understanding it, you know, because you are from IIT. So even I was kind of sleeping half the time. So I said, "Something I understand, but I was sleeping now and then." So Maharaj said, "You are lucky. For me, I was waking up now and then." Because all kinds of figures and this and that, what we understand just by chanting Hare Krishna, they're trying to understand through quantum and, you know, Einstein and this and that and all these margins. And then after the program, one devotee was serving one Japanese scientist, very famous scientist. So he just, you know, mentioned to him, "So I'm sure you must have had a great experience with this science congress." He said, "Yeah, it was great. I interacted with great minds." And so this devotee really wanted to hear that he appreciates ISKCON. So do you appreciate what ISKCON is doing? you know, I said, well, I don't know much about ISKCON or anything. But do you really appreciate the prasadam at least? We were giving such elaborate prasadam. He said, well, that's okay. But I am really missing the fish which I eat every day. And I am waiting to get on the flight and go back so that I can taste that fish again. And this devotee was totally frustrated. Ki itna khilaya usko. But that's the reality. That just because we are following a certain lifestyle, we cannot think that everyone will immediately take to that and understand that this is the goal of life. So therefore, what Prabhupada says is very beautiful. I have seen better orators, better scholars, better organizers, but no one is becoming pure by following regulative principles. So the sadhana is something which is unique and makes us stand apart. Then Prabhupada says, a prerequisite for spiritual leadership. So as far as being leader is concerned, leader means spiritually, not materially. This you should understand very clearly. If the spiritual potency and strength is there, then material intelligence will automatically follow. If spiritual potency and strength is there, then material intelligence will automatically follow. So you repeat after me. If spiritual potency and strength is there, then material intelligence will automatically follow. So very important statement by Prabhupada that we must understand that when you see a building, you only see the edifice. You don't see the foundation. So the foundation is very important. And the foundation is many times not seen, not visible. But that's what keeps the building standing there. So therefore, this is very important. We must have a solid foundation of chanting and following the regulative principle. Then one is fit to lead others. I hope you will understand this point. Letter to Jagjivan Das, 6th September 1974. So Prabhupada is making this beautiful point. So Mahaprabhu, he started his Sankirtan movement. Erupe Achandale Kirtana Sanchare Nama Prema Mala Ganthi Podela Samsare. So Mahaprabhu, he garlanded the whole world with the garland of prema, which consisted of flowers, you know, of Krishna prema, strung on the string of Harinam. Kateka kahiba ei dekhiyata jan, chaitanyara ganasabha chaitanya jivan. So Kaviraj Goswami says, how many names of Lord Chaitanya's associates I will enumerate? All I can say is Chaitanya Ragana. They were all Mahaprabhu's intimate associates. Sabha Chaitanya Jivan. They accepted Mahaprabhu as their life and soul. So Mahaprabhu spread this movement and he established as his most important ambassador for the holy name, Nama Charishila Hardas Thakur. Right? So it is described, Sanyasi Pandita Ganer Korite Garvanash Niche Shudra Dwara Koren Dharmera Prakash. Mahaprabhu specifically made the sannyasis and brahmanas humble. That was one of Mahaprabhu's mission. Sanyasi Pandita Ganer Korite Garvanash. Mahaprabhu took opportunity to smash the pride of sannyasis and the brahmanas and the pandits. Niche Shudra Dwara Koren Dharmera Prakash. And Mahaprabhu wanted to spread Harinam Sankirtan through those who were socially and educationally unqualified, to demonstrate that bhakti cannot be captured by your skill sets. Bhakti is not dependent on material qualification. It depends on mercy and blessings. So Haridasa Dwara, Nama Mahatmya Prakash, Sanatana Dara, Bhakti Siddhanta Vilas. So through Haridas Thakur, he established glories of Harinam. Haridasa Kahe Prabhu Na Chhoya More, Mui Neech Asprishya Parama Pamare. Please do not touch me, my dear Lord. I am untouchable. Mahaprabhu says, Kshane Kshane Karatumi Sarvatirthira Snan, Kshane Kshane Karatumi Yagyatapodan. You are chanting the holy names continuously. Every moment you are taking bath in holy places, every moment you are studying all the Vedas, you are the most exalted of all. Mandirere chakra dekhi koriha pranam, pratidina asi ami koriba prasadanna. In fact, you simply sit here and see the chakra of Jagannath and keep chanting. I will personally come and give you prasadam every day. You don't have to go anywhere. So Prabhupada writes in the Purport, Ananyaschante anto mam, yejana pariupasate. If someone sits and chants holy name, people think, dekbhal kaise hoga? Papi pet ka sawal. Right? But Prabhupada says, Mahaprabhu wanted to demonstrate Haridas Thakur chanting day and night. Lord himself is coming with Mahaprasad every day to give him. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the glory of Nam Sankirtan through Haridas Thakur. And therefore, Prabhupada emphasized on sadhana through Sankirtan, through chanting of the holy names, morning program. Prabhupada was very much insistent we should have a robust morning program. And Prabhupada introduced the Srimad Bhagavatam class at a certain point in 1971-72. So till 71-72, Bhagavatam class was not there. So we are not celebrating the 50th anniversary of Bhagavatam class. 50th anniversary of ISKCON we are celebrating. So Bhagavatam class began somewhere in Japan, or I don't remember exactly Hong Kong or where, but it either 71 or 72. And then Prabhupada said, this is the way we should conduct the class, chant the verse, repeat the verse, then it is spoken on. So therefore, sa shraddha dhanasya vivardhamana virakti manyatra karoti pumsam harer padanu smriti nirvrtasya samasta dukkha apyamashudhatte. This Bhagavatam, if it is heard regularly, with faith, sa shraddha dhanasya vivardhamana, it increases the faith. Virakti manyatra karoti, it creates natural detachment. Harer padano smriti nirvrtasya, it increases remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet and increases the experience of joy in the heart. Samasta dukkhapyayam ashu dhatte, and one becomes free of all hankering and lamentation. So therefore, this is a very important element of, you know, hearing and chanting on a regular basis. I remember we were in a yatra in Vrindavan with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj in our Kartik Yatra. Every year we go. So Maharaj began a lecture at 9 o'clock in the Fogla Ashram, in the main Prasadam Hall. And the class went on till 12, 12:30, and then we started setting up the Prasadam counter behind. And after 3 hours of lecture, some of the devotees who were sitting in the back, when they heard the Prasadam counter, the sound, you know, that sound was more transcendental. And then those who were really near, they could even smell the aroma. And some of them just, you know, as mildly as possible, they got up. And they were standing in a very strategic place where the line would stand every day. But they wanted to show that, you know, they are not really standing in Prasadam line. But few people stood up, 10 people. Then seeing them, 100 people got inspired. So after some time, they kind of became shameless and actually made a line. And you turn on the right and you could see that lecture is going on and they are standing. So at 12:30, Maharaj said, shall I continue the lecture? Now, after 3 hours of lecture, nobody imagined that it's going to go beyond 12:30. So naturally, those who were sitting raised their hands and said, Hari Bol, continue. And the biggest joke was these 100 people, they also said, Hari Bol, continue. It is so clear that their intention is to jump into the prasad. You know, and now when they are being asked, shall I continue? Okay. So again at 2:30, again he asked, shall I continue? And the lecture ended at 4 o'clock. So many times people feel that, okay, this is too much for me to handle. But, you know, the whole idea of katha and kirtan is, as Patanjali explains in Yoga Sutra, habit is previous memory of an experience of joy. The previous memory of an experience of joy is what creates habits. So if someone has experienced some joy in smoking or drinking or in sex life or in any other activity, that memory of that joy inspires him to repeat that experience, hankering for that joy. So therefore, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we are trying to replace the previous memories of experience of joy with new memories. So we want to replace those memories with the joy of hearing, the joy of chanting, the joy of visiting holy places and serving devotees, serving Krishna. And these are the new kinds of experiences which we are trying to replace our old experiences with. So therefore, visiting holy places and hearing and chanting totally cut off from our regular cycle of activities which we are engaged in which our ego is strongly invested in. We kind of detach ourselves totally to do this. So therefore, by hearing these classes, we get a solid boost of our sadhana in a short period of time by going on any parikrama or yatra, or you even for a weekend you go to Melkote or some other place and have, like, you know, a satsang together for several hours of katha. Of course, we can't artificially imitate, because one of our brahmacharis took a yatra of, you know, 40-50 people, and he also gave lecture 2 hours, and after 2 hours he asked his audience, shall I continue? They said, no. We want breakfast. It is time for breakfast. You stop. So by hearing this, we may think, oh, I should also give experience of long, long katha to people, and, you know, they will be benefited and all. But it always doesn't work. Just to let you know, some warning. So therefore, the three ingredients of good sadhana is consistency, attention, and diligence. And then, you know, we have the purification of false ego. So Mahaprabhu, when he was doing kirtan with his Bengal devotees, Prataprutra Maharaj saw it from the palace and he asked, Aiche prema, aiche nritya, aiche haridhvani, kaha nahi dekhi, aiche kaha nahi shuni. I have never seen such kirtan. Koti surya sama ujjwala varan. I see the devotees are effulgent like a million suns rising. And Prataprutra Maharaj had seen thousands of kirtans before. Best of the singers would come and perform in front of the king. But what he saw amongst Mahaprabhu's devotees, he had not witnessed anywhere. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, what made Mahaprabhu's followers stand out was their practice of Krishna consciousness, their meditation on Krishna consciousness, and their preaching of Krishna consciousness was all in sync with each other. They were consistent. Right? It's not that they were thinking one thing, doing another thing, and speaking another thing. And because they were practicing very diligently, sincerely, So whatever they did had power. Therefore, it touched the heart of the king also. So Prabhupada said, many times you may think preaching means some very, very out-of-the-box strategy and this and that. And we underestimate the power of kirtan to touch people's heart. But when it is chanted and sung by sincere devotees, it can really penetrate the heart. So he asks Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, what is this kirtan? Bhattacharya kohe ei madhura vachan, chaitanyera srishti ei prema sankirtan. What you hear, this melodious sound vibration, is a creation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is called prema sankirtan. Right? So, avatari chaitanya koila nama sankirtan, saito sumedh ar kolihatajan. Whoever follows this in Kali Yuga, he is intelligent. Whoever doesn't follow will be infected by Kali. So therefore, what Bhattacharya explains is very important. What is that? Bhattacharya koe ei madhura vachan chaitanyere srishti ei prema sankirtan. So, we discussed that in 8.64 billion years, once Krishna comes himself in Dwapar Yuga and does pastimes in Vrindavan and Dwarka and Mathura. After that Dwapar Yuga, in the following Kali Yuga, the Kali Yuga which follows that Dwapar Yuga in which Krishna advents, that is the only Kali Yuga where Radha and Krishna come together as Sri Chaitanya. And that is the only Kali Yuga where the Lord himself is giving out prema. In other Kali Yugas, it is the Yuga Avatar who comes. And he is giving Taraka Brahmanam and he is giving Mukti, the various five types of Mukti. He is not giving prema of Goloka. So we should know that we are in an extraordinarily fortunate coincidence that just 500 years after Mahaprabhu came and inaugurated distribution of that prema, and just 5,000 years after Krishna has demonstrated his Brajalila, we are there. So many people may think, hey, this is too much. Is this reality? What you are saying? Or is it just to convince us to take it seriously? But this is reality. So when you see a particular situation, it must be in context of the overall vision. So therefore, this prema, therefore he says, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Param Vijayate. This kind of supreme victory and experience, the highest experience is available only in this age, in this period. Those who are fortunate, take the advantage. They understand the rarity of what has been given. And when you understand the rarity of what has been given, you are willing to pay the price, whatever may be the expense. So therefore, Prabhupada says, okay, good sadhana can be initiated in each temple immediately, can be started by one devotee and then spread by progression, two, three. There can be many centers of reformation and they will each widen until all of ISKCON is included. This is by Ravindra Swarup Prabhu actually. The GBC must be vigilant by following the regulative principles and teach by ideal character the presidents of the centers. And the presidents by their ideal character must teach others. Then automatically all members of the whole institution will be ideal to the human society. So these are some initiatives. You have the temple morning program. Many are staying far from the temple. You can't come to the temple. You know, once in a week you could come together and form japa groups. Or some people in Mumbai, they come together on Ekadashi. And they come together as Ekadashi groups. And they chant holy names. And I don't know who popularized it, but in the last 3 years, on Haridas Thakur disappearance day, Ananta Chaturdashi, there are at least 100 to 200 devotees who come in different groups and chant 192 rounds also. I have never done it myself, but you know, there are few groups. They are like the Japacharyas, and they really are into it, and they get up like 1 o'clock in the morning and they start the whole thing, go on till the, it's really an intense experience. Like that. So therefore, similarly, there can be, you know, dham yatras. There could be systematic education of Prabhupada's books given to the congregation. Like Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, all of these should be educated to the congregation. The congregation should go through, you know, study of Prabhupada's books on a regular basis, so that they really understand. And I'll try to show you a video of our Vidyapeet. That in Chaupati, we decided that after we hit a certain number of brahmacharis, we decided, okay, every brahmachari who joins should go through a 2 to 3 year training program. So as soon as they join, we take them through complete Bhagavad Gita and the four books, Bhakti Shastri, 1 year, and 2 years of full Vidyapeet, which is complete Bhagavatam. Every day, 3 hours Bhagavatam lecture on one chapter. One chapter a day. And then test questions are given in advance. Next day, they have to write a test. And then after that, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So even Radhesham Prabhu, he just came from Pune. Last 2 years he spent doing this Vidyapeet, 5 days a week. And then he would go on Friday afternoon back to Pune. So by this, every person who is joining as a brahmachari, before he begins any service, he has finished complete Prabhupada books. He has experienced the best what ISKCON has got to offer, which is Prabhupada's books, in detail, thoroughly. And then he can get into the other services and everything. So we have online initiatives also in this. So in this way, we conclude today's discussion on sadhana. Tomorrow, we will discuss sadachar, seva and sambandha in our discussion, and we will take it up from there. So thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Anyone has any question? It's a good point. The question being raised by Harikshetra Prabhu is, the Prajavasis had such supreme confidence in Krishna's authority and his decision making that they just willingly followed without doubts. In our real life scenario, how does it translate? Yes, I agree that in our real life scenario, we are also not expected to do extreme things like the way Krishna expected from Brajavasis. So neither we have leaders who are perfect like Krishna, nor we are followers having bhav like the Brajavasis. So we kind of balance each other. So the mediocrity of leadership is balanced by the mediocrity of our desire to serve. Right? So it's kind of at that stage. I was trying to inspire someone to chant in the temple, in the hospital, Bhaktivedanta Hospital. It was like a big doctor, a neurosurgeon. And I said, you chant at least 2 rounds every day. He said, 2 rounds? Do you think I'm a full-time brahmachari like you? That I have all the time to chant. I am neurosurgeon all the time. I am in ICU. I am in operation theater. You know what my life is. How can I follow whatever you are saying? So I said, okay, at least 1 round you chant. 1 round! How it is possible? So it went on negotiating and finally he decided to begin 4 mantras. 4 mantras he began. But I said, there is something you begin. And whenever I would go once a month for a program, he would come and report. Chal raha hai mera. 4 mantras. He felt like he's making a major contribution to, you know, the kingdom of God. 4 mantras from my side. So he went to eight mantras, 16 mantras. After 4 years, he came to 64 mantras. You know, and it was just a private thing between him and me. And it was not something which he felt proud to share with other people, what he's doing. So he would only come and report to me, only I knew. So after one program, I was talking to a few devotees, initiated devotees were there in the hospital. And he came and said, Mera 64 chal raha hai. My 64 is going on. So the initiated devotees were shocked. They said, Are, what is the potency of our preaching? He's chanting 64. I said, not rounds, mantras. So Saraswati Thakur had so much potency, he inspired practically everyone to chant 64 rounds. And then Prabhupada saw that the way Kali Yuga is going, 64 is going to be tough. Although Facebook had not come. Still Prabhupada being Trikalagya could understand that. People would need at least 2 hours with Facebook, you know. So therefore, you know, you chant only 16 rounds. And Saraswati Thakur said, anyone who chants less than 64 rounds is called patit. That was his definition of patit. Prabhupada mentions in NY. Anyone who doesn't chant 64 rounds is patit. So therefore, Prabhupada came as patita pavan. And he gave 16 rounds. And some hope is there for us. Otherwise, we would never feel qualified. So, and that Prabhupada mentions is minimum. Okay, now Prabhupada gave that as a standard. Now next generations, they are demanding, ye 16 bhi zarurat hai kya? Char kiya to bas. So it's going to be very difficult because as the overall, you know, potency goes on decreasing, it becomes more and more difficult to convince people to follow a certain standard. So I agree with your point that, you know, there will always be these challenges. But we should know that if we, within our heart, submit and accept someone's authority and follow sincerely, without duplicity, then Krishna empowers us with potency to speak that message to the other person. And then when I give a talk on surrender and submission and following authority, then those words carry potency. So if I try to dodge the authority and I try to overlook what has been told and I start working independently. So tomorrow I have to teach. So the teaching and preaching is all based on what? Surrender, follow. So if I don't surrender to my authority, and think that, okay, let me take the shortcut. I won't surrender here. But I am enthusiastic to teach others how to surrender. So then I start teaching others, surrender, follow, very important. So Krishna will send such followers who will make us surrender to them. Because you cannot avoid this gate. No, the gate to the spiritual world goes through that only. You have to pay the toll there. So whether you pay the toll like this, the gate is there. It is written, submit. Whenever you decide, that's a different thing. But in some lifetime, you have to decide. Because there is no other path. Like I tell the story, when I was in IIT, there was one brilliant, when I joined in first year, he was just in fourth year. But he didn't pass out. Why? He was brilliant in programming. He would sit in the computer center all night, all day. He would help, you know, at least 20 to 40 people with their PhDs and their BTECs and MTECs, you know, thesis with their debugging and programming and everything. But he could not pass one subject, engineering drawing of first semester. And there was no reason, he didn't like it. He never went to the class. And the whole hostel is trying to convince him, "Arey, ED ka paper dena padega." Eho bahya. It's all nonsense. I don't like it. Mood nahi hai. So he couldn't pass. So he stayed one more year. Just for that one paper. And all through the year he was only helping other people with their computer, you know, things. So he was like the acharya of computer science. But he couldn't get officially his acharyaship. Because he couldn't get a BTEC. And why he couldn't get a BTEC? ED. He couldn't pass. So 2 years passed. Beyond 4 years, he went up to 6 year BTEC. All because of that one subject. And then many of us decided, let us go to the director and request him to give special BTEC. You know, as a mercy case, because he's so efficient with computer science. He has helped so many, doing so much paropkar. He's doing so much seva, helping other people. Why insist on that ED? Just forget it. But they said, no, this is our syllabus. These many credits he has to get. And if he doesn't pass, he doesn't pass. So finally, somehow or the other, you know, he was forced to attend or whatever, and then he wrote the exam and then he passed. So when a subject is there, the educational institution will expect you, even though you may be expert at this and this and this and this and this and this, you don't go through that, you're not getting your degree. So you say, I'm expert at singing, I'm expert at distributing books, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, this and that, but submitting to this person, I can't do that. I have my own way of doing bhakti. So you can. But then Krishna has certain syllabus and he wants everyone to pass through that. You know, so he'll keep placing opportunities to submit and surrender through different agencies. So you may think, oh, he is superior, he is my senior, I won't surrender. I will become myself senior and have many juniors under me. The juniors will sit on your head and make you surrender. Then you realize, oh, sarvadharman parityaj. Just that the agents will differ. Somehow or the other, Krishna will make that realization come. So you cannot bypass that on this path. If Golok is the destination, you have to pass through this station. You can't bypass. It's not possible. So that's the idea. Okay? So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitai Gaur Premanande. So we'll continue again tomorrow morning.